keys are, but that's my computer guy. Okay, so I am biased. The study that I'm going to show you is a subjective study. We do things like ask patients, how do you feel? The people that were involved with these studies are all online to be summa cum laude graduates at three of the schools of pharmacy in the state of Florida. And one young lady who read about us online someplace and came down from South Carolina to spend her rotation with us. So this is the cream of the crop. I am incredibly lucky to have these folks show up at my doorstep on a regular basis. Also, the last name there, Cheryl Andrews, a wonderful person who took piles and piles and piles of pieces of paper and entered them into a spreadsheet for me accurately. And we actually triple checked that, three people checked these numbers. Okay, why is a pharmacist standing up here talking to physicians and talking to patients? Because we're all part of this thing. I get 20, 30, 40 phone calls a day about LDN. My doctor doesn't know anything about it. You know, tell me about it. What's the right dose? What are the side effects that I should be experiencing? What are the things that I shouldn't be experiencing? Will this work for this? Will this work for that? You know, I called my pharmacist. He doesn't know anything about LDN. Can you tell me about it? So there is a triad of treatment that is set up. We are all equal partners in this. But if you look at the top there, the patient is what this is all about. This is not about the pharmacist. This is not about the physician. It is legal in most states for the physician to write an off-label prescription for naltrexone 4.5. Let me repeat that. It is legal in most states for a physician to write a prescription for naltrexone 4.5. So you patients out there who have been told, oh, I can't do that, I'll leave it up to you. Okay, what was the purpose of our study? We wanted to know if LDN was working. We've had data from 1999. We actually had a couple patients from other pharmacies who called in that were longer than 1999. I, being an old research guy, figured that was enough data for us to look at and to at least form some opinions. It is not placebo-controlled double-blind studies. Although I got a call from my partner this morning and he said that if we had to pay for the students to do this work, it would have been about $70,000. Thank God our government's paying for that. See, they are paying for something. So, we wanted to know, is it working? We wanted to know what happened to symptoms. We wanted to know what happened to disease progression and quality of life issues as reported by patients. Okay, so what did we do? We took all of the prescription files from Skip's Pharmacy. Thank God they're on a computer. I sent out emails and on the blogs and on all sorts of computer stuff to get people's names. They sent us their names and their telephone numbers. We asked a couple other pharmacies if they would send us names and telephone numbers. Of course, they had to check with the patients in order for us to get access to those patients. We got 7,800 patients, a little over 6,600 some odd patients, I believe, came from our database since 1999. Cheryl put these patients, filled out all this information, put these patients into an Excel spreadsheet, typed a whole bunch of stuff in, it randomized the patients. Each one of the patients got a number statistician told me that 278 patients would describe that total population. So we looked at 278 patients. Starting with patient one, their telephone number, we went down the list to 278. Now, if patient number 14 didn't answer the telephone that day, we went to the next patient and kept on going down. And if patient 14 didn't call us back within a week, we went to patient 279 to the list. Okay, it was all randomized. Okay, and if you have any questions, ask me right now. Okay, good. Okay, all of the patients, 278 patients, were called by the pharmacy students, and they spent 15 or 20 minutes with every patient asking questions. All of the answers to these questions were put into an Excel spreadsheet along with their name. Okay, how long did you take LDN? The median was 26 months, and for those non-scientific people, there's 278 patients. We counted to the middle of those 278 patients, and that was 26 months. You're going to see why that's important, okay? The average was 29.6 months. The standard deviation is a number that fits this data. It says that there is a group of people around the average. The majority of the population is going to be around this average, 2.5 months one way, 2.5 months the other way. Okay, for most of you out there, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. We had a download in the last year, pretty much after NIH, we started to get more and more and more and more patients. So the first 1 year, okay, was probably the biggest, okay? Now the neat thing about this number is, remember how they used to grade you on a bell curve? Well, if you take out that first number, everything else is sort of a bell curve. It means absolutely nothing except it looks nice. But 78 of our patients were within the last year. Okay, next question. Have you had an exacerbation since you started taking low-dose naltrexone? We didn't define it. One man's exacerbation is another woman's daily life. Okay, we didn't define it. Yes, sir. Multiple sclerosis only. I'm sorry, yeah. Out of the total population we had, there were only a couple hundred outlier types of diseases, as they call them. Okay. Maybe next year we'll have enough to talk about things like fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome. Okay. We didn't define what the exacerbation was. Have you had an exacerbation? Out of the 278, 47 patients had had an exacerbation. 83% of the population has had no exacerbation, according to them. Let me repeat that. 83%. Any of you folks who do a lot with MS, 83% is like, I tell the story. I used to be in hard science, and I had people work for me. If those people who worked for me brought me this number, I would fire them. Last year, I would have fired them. And 3 years ago, I would have fired them. I would have fired them on these numbers, because these numbers, and there's a quote floating around out there with my name on it, that this is a no-brainer. This is such a no-brainer. Even you scientific types, with all of the biases that are introduced here, discounted by 50%, tell me a drug that treats MS that has 40-some-odd percent of the patients with no exacerbations. Tell me one drug, please. Educate me. That's incredible. 83% of the population. You look at drugs where they report 38%, 36%, 35%, and they report a 32% placebo. Okay, for you non-scientific folks, that means that 32% of those people aren't going to have one anyway. Okay, and it's just 6 or 7 or 8 or 10% who might have an exacerbation. Okay, 17% or 47 patients out of the whole 278 has had an exacerbation. Okay, why? What did you do? What happened? Did you stop? I mean, you know, tell us about why you think you had an exacerbation. Okay, total 47%, 17%. Okay, there were 4 patients that knew why they had an exacerbation. We'll get into that. There were 12 patients who stopped taking LDN. And then there were 31 patients that they didn't have a clue why they had an exacerbation. Okay, 4 patients that knew why they had an exacerbation. One patient had an operation, went into hospital, and was not allowed to take her LDN with her. It was against the law. She had an exacerbation. Second patient, and this is one of our oldest patients, she had a September that I'm glad it was her and not me. She got married, she bought a house, and she got downsized. She lost her job. Those 3 stressors, I mean, I think I don't have MS, but I think I would have had an exacerbation if I had that happen to me in a 2-month period. Okay, the third patient had actually had an operation and had a very serious infection. She was in hospital. She was not allowed to take her LDN. Now, was it the infection? Was it the hospital? Was it not taking LDN? I don't know. You make up your own minds. The fourth patient, this was an interesting young lady. She had been healed. Okay, her MS had gone away. And she decided that she was going to go out in the desert, and she had 2nd- and 3rd-degree burns. She was in tough shape. She went in hospital. She was not allowed to take her LDN. Was it because of the burns, you know, the experience in the desert, or not taking LDN? I don't know. Again, you make up your own minds. This is a great group. I love these people. Okay? They figured they were healed, that their MS had gone away, so they stopped taking their LDN. I don't need it anymore. I haven't had an exacerbation, you know, in 2 or 3 years. Why do I need to take this drug? This drug has healed me. Between 1 and 3 months, they had had an exacerbation. Okay? Now, a lot of you folks who have talked to me know I'm a duck guy. If it looks like a duck and it squawks like a duck and it lays little duck eggs, it flies north in the wintertime, it hangs out with other ducks, it's probably a duck. We were talking about studies when you stop taking a drug, if the condition comes back and then you start taking the drug again and the condition goes away, maybe the drug works. I don't need no stinking double blind study to know that this stuff works, okay? No reason. They didn't know. Okay, they didn't know. I made a couple telephone calls back to these people, and they didn't know. I was taking my LDN religiously. Now, a good portion of these patients were our patients, and it's funny how they were able to create drug on their own. Somehow, you know, we would send them a 30-day supply, and 60 days later, they would be reordering it. And that was really the case with most of these people. Time to exacerbation. This is an interesting thing. See, you have these two jumps here. Okay? Now, our standard practice and what we recommend to people, MS people, is that they start at 1.5 milligrams, they do that for 30 days. Then they go to 3 milligrams, they do that for 30 days, and then they go to 4.5 for 30 days. Now, why do we recommend that? We'll see that a lot of people will drop out if you start them at 4.5. I'm actually a person who takes LDN prophylactically. The first night that I took it, I also watched there was a show on Nightmare Before Christmas, and I was up all night long being chased by boogeymen and ghosts and things like that. It really is a sleep disturbance, okay? So in order to get us by that, and last year, if you remember our studies, everybody who failed on it because they stopped taking it, that they had a problem with the sleep stuff, okay? So we recommend 1.5, 3, and 4.5. Is that the best way to do it? I don't know, but we keep a lot of people on. On the other side of the coin, you have a lot of these people who are having exacerbations, and it's bimodal. There's two tall things there, okay, and it's all before 24 months. This one out here happened to one of our oldest patients. She was using another pharmacy for about a year, and she's been using us since 1999, and she got married in the summertime, okay? So I think that could have something to do with that. Okay, 4 to 6 months was the median time. Again, you add them all up, it's the number that's in the middle, it's not an average. 78% of those who reported exacerbations had it within the first 24 months. Does that mean something? I don't know. But I can tell you that, you know, most of the people are going to have exacerbations right up front. Now, none of the people who had exacerbations had more than one. That's a key little piece of information that isn't up here. Nobody had more than one exacerbation. Okay, this 78% is 13.3% of the total population. So 13.3%, or conversely, had an exacerbation. Or the 78% is 13%. 78% is 13% of the total population. Okay. What were your symptoms beforehand? What caused you to go on LDN or go to your doctor to see if you have MS? Do you still have them? Okay. Again, it's not double-blinded. It's simply one human being asking another human being, how do you feel? How are your symptoms? How would you rate these symptoms? You know, do you feel better now than you did then? And we looked at that from two perspectives. Totally gone. I don't have any symptoms. Now, as we go through this, if you want to write down some numbers, it's strange how you get different answers when you ask the same question in a different way. Were they improved? Now look at these numbers. Okay? And we'll get into the individual symptoms themselves. Did they remain the same? Did they decline? There was some decline. Decline meant that their symptoms got worse. Still pretty impressive numbers for a drug that the FDA hasn't blessed with their all-knowing. Okay, the visual symptoms. The list to the right is what those symptoms were. 114, everybody, all 278 had some symptom or another in each one of these categories. 114, their vision problems disappeared. 112, they got a little better. 47 stayed the same, and 5 had problems. Muscle weakness, spasm, slurred speech. 49, everything went away, no symptoms. 91, they improved some of the muscle weakness. They got some of their strength back. The slurred speech went away. 71, remained the same, no different from before. And 67, didn't improve at all. Still not a bad number. Sensory, numbness, tingling, burning, those peripheral neuropathy-like symptoms. Still not bad, okay? Didn't work as well as some of the things, or didn't, the LDN didn't work as well on these things as some of the other things. This was the biggie. This is the one that was I was really impressed with, because a lot of people have that dizziness thing, and that's the telephone call that I get. You know, I'm really dizzy. Is this going to take the dizziness away? Well, I can say yes now. And I hope all of you folks who are not doctor types, when you get on the blogs and, you know, the internet and things like that, you tell them yes. Okay, urinary, and this was another one that really impressed me. Again, I have urinary urgency, I'm incontinent, okay? These numbers are pretty good. Okay, overall, have your disease-related symptoms increased? Have they gotten worse? Have they remained the same, or have they decreased? Which is sort of the same question that I asked before, but you're going to see different information coming out of this. Not a whole lot. We had one guy who 38% of their symptoms, or 38% of the people had their symptoms decrease, 62% remained the same. Are you able to function better after starting low-dose naltrexone? You know, can you get up? Can you walk around? Can you feed yourself? Can you go to the bathroom by yourself? What do you need in terms of help from other people? How are you doing? That's really, I think, a lot of the questions were asked that way. How you doing? Okay. You remember back, and all these are going to be on our website next week sometime, so you can actually pull these things up. If you have one of those little stick things, you can take it today if you'd like. Total resolution of symptoms, 8%. 71% improved, 21% remained the same, and that one guy who had nothing good to say to us. We presumed he declined. Okay, so you're looking at 79% of the patients. Now, the indication for low-dose naltrexone is that it will prevent progressions or exacerbations. I tell nobody that it's going to do any, well, I tell people anecdotal information. This is subjective anecdotal information, you know. I will go to confession this afternoon and confess my sins. But 79% of the people must have been brainwashed by me to give me these answers. Okay? I doubt it, because you should hear some of the telephone calls that I get. Okay. Has LDN improved your quality of life? Another loaded question. You know, are you going to buy LDN for me again so that we can give out these Ferraris at the convention? Okay. Now 9%. Remember, it was 8% before. It's 9, now 9%. Total resolution, 71% and 20%. I mean, we don't have to be rocket scientists here, okay? You know, I hear over and over in the lectures this morning, you know, why aren't there studies being done? I think the gentleman's name was Dr. Agarwal from Ohio 4 years ago. In his original paper trying to describe what LDN actually does, he said the same thing. Why, you know, we need clinical studies. This is so stupid that we're not doing this, okay? Now I'm going to talk to the professional types. Why aren't you doing it for us? Okay? It's your responsibility to get this thing going. You have all these people out here who will support you. So, total resolution of symptoms. Everything went away, 9%. How many drugs do you know? Well, let's put it this, put it another way. How many of you actually dispense or write prescriptions for Darvocet N100? Active ingredient in Darvocet 100 is Tylenol, not propoxyphene. How many prescriptions have you written? How many prescriptions? And you know, I'm probably preaching to the choir here because you guys are probably writing prescriptions for LDN. It's those other guys out there who, you know, it's against the law or that crap, okay? 71% of their lives improved. How many drugs do you know, for I don't care what the diagnosis is going to be, how many drugs do you know improve 71% of the people's, of the population's lives, improve according to them? Maybe not according to you, maybe not according to some synthetic guideline created by somebody. The patients. That's what it's all about. 20% remained the same. Remember, the idea behind LDN is it's to prevent progressions or exacerbations. That is a success story, okay? Preventing exacerbations, preventing progressions. That's the success story. So all the rest of these things, you know, these are home runs. Let's put it another way. That's the one that isn't a home run. And he didn't like me, I think. Number of reported side effects. Okay, we've spoken about side effects. You know, the sleep thing, the thing that you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning in a sweat. I've heard a lot of that. You know, over and over and over and over and over again, you know, was that an issue? Was that a problem? 74% of the people who start on naltrexone, and this wasn't held to what our protocol was, this was anybody on naltrexone, 74% of them had no side effects. You know, you take an Advil and it can upset your stomach, and that's an over-the-counter drug. It upsets my stomach all the time when I take it on an empty stomach. 20% had one side effect. And 6% had two side effects. If you go and you look at a FDA-approved PDR propaganda, okay, you'll see the side effects that are listed. Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, or constipation. I used to write those things, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, or constipation. We didn't even have the data for that, and it was nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, or constipation. Why? Because I'll guarantee you, I don't care what it is, people are going to claim they're going to have nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, or constipation. Some of them have it all at the same time, okay? Which made me feel very good. I was brilliant. Okay, number one side effect, that 20% there, if we can get back there, that 20%, that's sleep disturbances by a significant number. The next one was increased spasms or tightness. Okay, people would start taking their LDN. They would get up to the 4.5 dose, or they would start at the 4.5 dose, and they would have this, like, rebound tightness. All of them, it went away. And the third was the famous other, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, or constipation, or something, okay? About 2 years ago, on several of the blogs, or whatever they call those things, there were people who started to go to their physicians, or they went to a new physician, and that new physician had to have a new MRI. And they were reporting all of a sudden, I don't have anything on my MRI. It must be the crappy doctor that took the thing. And I heard that over and over and over and over again. Until finally, that lady, the 94-month lady, okay, she moved from up north to down south. She went to a new doctor. The new doctor needed a new MRI. He sent her, because he's one of these old country doctors, he sent her up to the university, where the guy that took the MRI is supposedly some, you know, guru of MRI taking. She had no lesions, no plaques. Sent the report back to the old country doctor. My friend goes in, sits down with the old country doctor, and the old country doctor goes, well, you know what? I don't think you have MS. Well, let me tell you, telling this to that girl who has been suffering for 20-some-odd years with MS, who knows probably more about MS than anybody I know, wasn't really the right thing for her to do. It must be, you know, well, no, it isn't. They went back, they took another MRI, the MRI was clear. So you begin to think, now all of a sudden these people have been on LDN for a period of time, and, you know, they've had plaques that they could count before, and now all of a sudden they have no plaques. Now, I am not a physician. I don't read MRIs. I'm a duck guy. Okay, if it looks like a duck, it squawks like a duck. Pragmatic, I like to look at data. Why is it that a population of people, and this is a question, why is it that a population of people who have had plaques on their MRIs for years and years and years, have been on LDN for a couple of years, and those plaques have disappeared? The only commonality to the thing is that those plaques have disappeared. What is the answer for that? I don't know. Doing good, huh? Okay. I actually did the number, or the analysis. That young man over there did the slides, and Cheryl Andrews, a wonderful woman, inputted all the data. And if you have any questions, comments, nasty remarks, I am proud to stand here and answer them.